You're listening to All Things Considered on 89.1 WEMU. Good afternoon, I'm Bob Eccles. College athletic programs seem to find themselves in trouble fairly often these days, whether it's players trading jerseys for tattoos or receiving inappropriate gifts from boosters or bad graduation rates at universities among athletes. One of the folks in the media who's been the most vocal in expressing ways we might fix college sports is New York Times columnist Joe Nocera, who is speaking on the subject this afternoon at the EMU Student Center. Mr. Nocera has been kind enough to stop in and talk with me a bit about college sports and his talk this afternoon. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. I guess before we talk about fixing college sports, we should talk about what's wrong with it. I mean, we've seen the symptoms. What's the cause of the problem?
Well, let's start with what your first mentioned, which is the idea of players trading jerseys for tattoos. Under what system in America is that wrong? And that players can't sell or trade their own personal property, for something they want. I mean, a large part of the problem with college sports is the bureaucracy that runs college sports, which is the NCAA.
Sure.
Now, here we are heading towards March Madness. Everybody's excited about it. And my God, they do a good tournament, which also, by the way, generates them $800 million a year.
Sure.
But their rules are mostly idiotic, mostly anti-competitive, and primarily they use the guise of amateurism to get a terrific free labor force in a $6 billion business. So if you ask me what's wrong with college sports, that's what I'd say is wrong with college sports.
Okay. And I would imagine that a lot of the ideas you have for fixing college sports have to do with changing some of these rules and such.
Well, actually, fixing it is a little more complicated because there are a lot of ideas out there. But I would categorize the ideas in three different buckets.
Okay.
One is a bucket of due process. When a player or a coach gets in trouble, he should have some rights. The NCAA has the right to believe whoever they want with no chance to cross-examine, with the credibility of witnesses. The NCAA gets to decide. The NCAA is both the judge and the jury in the sense that they are both the investigative staff, and then they make the decision, the infractions committee. The Miami situation where the NCAA really quite terribly used a bankruptcy case to get information that they really didn't have any right to shows you how far the enforcement staff will go and how they've lost sight of right and wrong, which, by the way, has been the case for a long time. So bucket number one is players and coaches should have due process when they get in trouble. The system really stinks.
Okay.
Bucket number two, players should have the same rights every other student on campus has.
Okay.
Period. End of story. If the honor court says it's not plagiarism, who is the NCAA to say it is plagiarism?
True.
And yet that sort of thing happens all the time. Number three, and this is the big one, pay the players.
Okay?
Cut the hypocrisy. Just be honest about what's going on. You're spending all this money on facilities, all this money to recruit, all this money to impress kids to come to your school. You'd spend a lot less money and you'd be a lot less hypocritical if you just said, I'm going to offer you some money to come to my school.
Okay. You imagine that these changes would also have a positive effect on graduation rates, I guess, for players?
Well, that's a whole different thing.
Okay.
And I'm happy to discuss that at great length, but which I won't because we don't have that much time.
Okay.
But there are many athletes who come to college in no way prepared to be college students. You know that? I know that.
Sure.
They come from disadvantaged backgrounds. They have terrible high schools. And quite often, to be blunt, they've been told since they're 12 years old, that they're going to be professional athletes, so who cares about studies?
Right.
Okay? So the idea that you're supposed to treat them, that they're somehow supposed to be able to take advanced calculus, you know, and Shakespearean literature and come away a well-rounded it's absurd. It's absurd. Yeah. So another reason to pay the players is to cut out the pretense of what they're doing on your campus. They're not on your campus to be a student. They're on your campus to generate revenue. That's what they. That's why they're there. And I do believe that athletes deserve an education and they ought to get one. And one of my proposals is to have scholarships all last for 6 years, so that after a player realizes he's not going to be a pro, or being a college athlete is a lot of hard work, and that you would actually have some time after your eligibility is up to actually be a student, okay, and to think about being a student, and to learn how to be a student, which they don't have while they're playing basketball and football.
Excellent. In addition to what we've talked about, what else will we be hearing from you, I guess, this afternoon?
Not a whole lot else, in the sense that in the year and a half that I've been writing about the NCAA, I have become extremely passionate about this issue. And when I first started writing on the op-ed page about sports, about the NCAA in particular, I would get occasional emails saying, you know, if I wanted to read about sports, I would go to the sports page. I don't go to the op-ed page to see a sports column. And my answer to them and my answer to you is really simple on that. This is not about sports. This is about human rights and civil rights. That is what I will be talking about tonight.
All right. Mr. Nocera, thank you very much for joining me this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Joe Nocera is a columnist with the New York Times. He's speaking at the EMU Student Center this afternoon on the subject of how to fix big-time college sports, a talk that is sponsored by EMU Student Government.